Wonderful. Could you turn to the reading we had Sewell read for us? Page 1180 in the Bibles in front of you as we get a New Year's message. Thank you for coming tonight. It's a great privilege to be opening the Bible with you. 1180. And if you turn to the back of your service order too, I've got my sermon points that you can take away with you. It's the middle of the night, so I thought I'd write them out. Drift, don't drift, as we look ahead to the year ahead. And there are my 5 points. We're going to go through them. We're going to pray. We're going to see the new year in. Wonderful. So we've got both those open. 1180, Philippians 4, and the 5 points there in the New Year's resolutions. Some of you may know that I was born in Chile in South America, but then my dad moved to Africa to grow tobacco. And what it was to be a young boy in Africa, growing up in Africa, it was amazing. And I remember a day snorkeling we had off the Kenyan coast, and we went to a place called Shimoni, and I had never seen colors like it, the coral reef that we saw. And at one point with my older brother, I was swimming along, and we swam over a ledge, so it was below us in the water. We were on top of the water looking down, snorkeling this ledge, and as we went over the ledge, there was a huge light blue fish. I mean, massive, about this size, I kid you not, like a cartoon character. It was so big, and as I saw it, I sort of quickly swam back over the ledge to avoid it. And as I swam away, there was a massive bite on my calf muscle. And I tell you, I swam for the beach like Michael Phelps. I didn't look back. The adrenaline, the terror, I scrambled and crawled up the beach and lay there. And the next thing I knew, my older brother came in howling with laughter. Of course, he'd bit me. My older brother. He'd seen the fish, he'd seen its size, he'd seen me turn, and he bit me on the calf. Anyway, later that afternoon, I was snorkeling on my own this time, and I was just looking, and it was just staggering. And eventually I looked up, and I thought I was still quite near the sandbank, but I had drifted so far, and the swim back was absolutely exhausting. And spiritual drift can catch us. And this New Year's Eve, we're wanting to avoid this drift. And as we look at the issue and the battle the Philippians have and the Christian has, look down, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, writes Paul, from prison, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. He says, stand firm, don't drift. And this has the sense of standing in battle with the enemy surging towards you. Stand firm. Lightfoot, one commentator, has written this on this verse. In the same way, the believers are condemned to fight for their lives. Against them are the arrayed ranks of worldliness and sin. Only unflinching courage and steady togetherness can win the victory against such odds. Stand firm. Now, how do I stand firm in the Christian life in the year ahead? Let's look down. First of all, verses 2 and 3 draw together. Can we see as we look down? So he says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they've contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Paul, when he uses the word plead, literally, he says, I'm on my knees begging these two women. So there is a problem here with dispute and disunity, and we are naive if we think these things are not alive in our churches. We don't get converted and suddenly have an angelic disposition. And these were fine Christian workers. Verse 3, they contended at my side, says Paul. You know, we work together as one man is the key verse in Philippians, Philippians 1:27. They did that. Their names, verse 3, are in the book of life. So they're registered in the heavenly Somerset House. They're converted, active church members laboring for the gospel, and yet they are at each other's throats. You know that, don't you? The biggest cause of missionaries returning from the mission field are other missionaries. Now, this can't have been a major gospel issue because Paul would have got to that point. No, it's not that. This is a feelings issue. These women have been terribly hurt, and their feelings are destroying unity. And Paul writes and he says, please choose. Choose to allow Jesus to have authority over your hurt feelings. And he pleads with them. Can we see how he pleads with them? Verse 2, very important. Have a look, verse 2, in the Lord. And it's literally the same word as he uses in chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. In other words, he says, as you're furious with each other, please, women, think like Jesus. Think like him who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself even to death on a cross. Humble yourselves. Forgive as Jesus forgives. So Jesus chose humanity. He chose the cross. He chose to pay for our sins. He chose to go to Jerusalem. He chose to pay our ransom. He chose to humble himself. He chose our interests. And he says, please, Euodia Syntyche, think like that. Choose like that. Bear with one another. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And if we're to draw together this year, that must be central to our thinking. Lord, as you've forgiven me so much, may I be forgiving others. And hurt feelings can destroy churches. Brother, sister, is that true with you? Please forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Secondly, that's the first one, draw together. Secondly, rejoice. Have a look down, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Now let me ask you, now this is crucial for surviving in the year ahead spiritually. Brother, sister, do you know the difference between human happiness and Christian joy? Human happiness and Christian joy. And it's so important because so many Christians have been rendered inoperable by the devil because they don't understand the difference. Human happiness is externally stimulated. It's like having a bar of chocolate. As you can see, I've had a few. It's externally, it's having a great holiday, it's a meal with friends, it's some new clothes, it's playing or watching sport, it's listening to your favorite music or watching your favorite film. Charlie Brown, in one of his cartoons, he defines happiness as this: happiness is a warm puppy. A Labrador puppy comes in and you scoop the little fellow up into your arms. It's externally stimulated. It's my environment, it's my surroundings. And often as Christians, we long for the lives of the happy, smiley people. You see them in the adverts. Have you seen them? So they use certain products, and because they use those products, they are healthy, fit, organized, wealthy, happily married, with contentedly obedient and endearingly mischievous kids. And they live in a wonderful, spacious house with wonderful, spacious grounds and a tree house. It's always the same. And it's all about external circumstances. They're young, organized, good-looking, famous, rich, slim, successful, powerful, like Michael Schumacher was until 48 hours ago. But human happiness cannot be trusted. Ask Schumacher's family. Christian joy is internally stimulated, and it does not hinge on chance or success or youth or good looks or wealth. And Paul felt this joy in prison. He uses the word joy, joy, joy again and again in this letter to the Philippians from prison. It's the letter from joy, and he's chained to a Roman soldier either side of him. So where does this joy come from? Can you see verse 4 as we look down? In the Lord. Oh Lord, may my new year resolution to be in you. That's where his joy was. I was once walked into church when I was a student at Theological College. I walked into the local church in Oxford where we were, and David Fletcher, the minister there, saw me looking so miserable. He said, Rico, are you still going to heaven? I said, yeah. He said, oh, I thought something was wrong. It's obviously fine. Joy is about being in the Lord, and that comes from, can you see our third one here? Imminence, verse 5, as we look down. Verse 5. See it, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Martin Lloyd-Jones, by the way, preached twice on the same subject. He said, it comes twice, so I'm preaching twice on rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So now the Lord is near here in the commentaries. This has two meanings. One is, he will soon return to judge the world when every knee will bow before him. And if you're with him, you're on the right side and there will be justice. He's near. It's not long. But secondly, the Lord is not only near in that he's coming to judge the world, he's also present by his Spirit. So we sense his presence, we speak to him, we hear his words, and may that be where our rejoicing stems from. The Lord is near. Many of you will have heard of Richard Wurmbrand. He wrote a book called God's Underground, and he was 14 years in a communist jail. The guards had been told he'd been involved in child sacrifice. He was a Christian pastor. And he writes of Father Soriano, an Orthodox priest who was imprisoned with him, and he writes this: Father Soriano had more reason to mourn than any of us. Tragedy had struck his whole family. One of his daughters, a cripple, had been deprived of her husband, who was also in prison with us. Another daughter and her husband had been sentenced to 20 years in prison for being Christian. One of his sons had died in prison. A second had turned against him. And yet Father Soriano, a simple, self-educated man, spent his days encouraging and cheering others. He greeted people never with good morning, but always with the biblical rejoice. And I asked him, how can you rejoice always? You've had so much misfortune. Why, it's a sin not to do so, he said. There is a God in heaven and in my heart. The Lord's in my heart, said Soriano. Therefore I rejoice. Oh, may that be my New Year's resolution. Next one, as we look down, F, drift, don't drift. Why? How do I not drift? Focus on prayer. Can we see as we look down verses 6 and 7? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, do you know, there'll be things that keep us awake at night. There'll be many worries. The Bible says at the center of my emotion, my heart, there'll be anxiety. But this word worry is from the German word würgen, which means to choke or to strangle. And we can be mentally harangued, emotionally strung out, spiritually strangled. What do I do when I'm awake at night? Can you see what I do? What do I do? Prayer and petition. Prayer, literally the word prayer means worship and adoration. Come face to face with God. Remind yourself who the sovereign Lord is, who at the beginning of time carved my name in his hands, who 2,000 years ago sent his son to die, who then sent his spirit to turn my heart round, to call me to himself, who then gives me worthwhile things to do and brothers and sisters to love me in Christ. And at the end of my life, I'll stand before him and he'll say, Rico Tice, it's good to see you. You've been on my mind a very long time. That is who the Lord is. He is in control. He's put his hand on my life. But it's not just that. Also, pour your petition. Pour out your heart to him. Tell him what's wrong. And as you do that, what are we promised? This is amazing, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So as you bring your worries to God, he gives you his peace in exchange. Oh, brother, sister, what a promise. As I bring my worries to him, he gives me his peace in exchange. The word peace here is a sense of oneness with God. It's a peace which transcends understanding. And God is garrison my heart. It's a military word. So the Holy Spirit will come and garrison my heart as I have these worries. Don Carson has written, I have yet to meet a perennial, worrying, uptight person who has a good prayer life. There may be one, but I haven't met them yet. I've yet to meet a perennial, worrying, uptight person who has a good prayer life. There may be one, but I haven't met them yet. Oh, brother, sister, we take our worries to the Lord, and in exchange, he gives us supernaturally his peace. What a promise! Let's be men and women of prayer in the year ahead. Please pray that I will pour out my heart to the Lord in prayer. So what do we then do? Closing, lastly, we think. Verse 8, we think. As we look down, focus on prayer, think, don't drift, think. Have a look down, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. One commentator has written, you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. How are you thinking? Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And Paul calls us to think about things that are true, noble, right, and pure, and we'll find those things in this book. This is where we find what is true, noble, right, and pure. Thomas More wrote, "Occupy your minds with good thoughts, or the enemy will fill them with bad ones. Unoccupied, they cannot be." Oh, brothers and sisters, what a thing it is. We have our Bibles. In the year ahead, let's fill our hearts, our minds with these things. So there we have it. Have you got those written down? Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. The year ahead, don't drift. How do I not drift? Draw together, 2 and 3. Rejoice, verse 4. Imminence, the Lord is near, verse 5. Focus on prayer, verses 6 and 7. And allow the peace of the Lord to garrison your heart and think. Get our Bibles out, fill our minds with Christ. Here we have all we need to live for the Lord Jesus in the year ahead. May it be the case that we do that. God bless you all.